You may be seated. All right, today we move into a new section in our continuum and exposition of our dissertation. Everyone, take your document. If you have your book, take it out. Repeat after me. Scripture distinctions. Actualization in eternity. For manifestation in time. Oh my God, we're going to be ahead of the game, aren't we, huh? You're not going to be moved by those things that are frightening others. We're going to get a good, nice, deep air at night, aren't we? We move to part 5, page 118 of your document here, and those who are listening, you can go to our website, www.gracegospelministrytry.com or .org, and when you go into the audio section, there's a little icon there. You can click, and up will come this entire document. We are in part 5. Everybody repeat after me, temporal and eternal things compared. I said again, temporal and eternal things compared. What we're doing is we're taking that which is seen, that which is temporary, and we are, in fact, we are juxtaposing the seen with the unseen, the eternal with the temporary. The spiritual with the physical. We're comparing them. And our aim and our hope is that as we weigh them, it'll be obvious as to what can be counted on and what cannot be counted on. I should say, what can be counted on and what should be counted out. Elder Nickerson is our designated reader. Let's turn to a familiar passage that we have been dealing with, and yes, we cannot go to it. Nobody graduates from any part of the scriptures. You can't go to it enough. Many times as I go in and out of these scriptures, every time I go in, the Holy Spirit shows me even more. So, we've been through 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, 17, 18 so many times. Why do we have to go there again? Amen. Because this is the living word. Even more than the written word. And in the living word, the Holy Spirit is forever taking us into the in-depthness of these things. Let's turn to that passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. The elders just read that, those three verses there. First in the King James. Everyone that has 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, say amen. I hear pages. I'll wait. We're not in a hurry. We shall be on this section, part 5, temporal and eternal things compared up until the summer. we shall be comparing. And what comes to mind is two words. No contest. No contest. Everybody said no contest. The superiority of spirituality over physicality, secularity is so great until there is no contest. Yet, what we find ourselves focusing on and clinging to are the things that we shouldn't, while we embrace those things, we are not focusing and depending and clinging to that which is unshakable, unmovable. As Paul uses these adjectival expressions in some other scriptures. All right? Everyone has 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Amen? Right, read or read. Corinthians. I did say 2 Corinthians, didn't I? Okay. All right. Read.
2 Corinthians 4.
16.
For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day.
Mm-hmm.
For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory.
Uh-huh.
While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal.
Mm-hmm.
But the things which are not seen are eternal.
How many times do we have to read that? How many times do we have, you know, it's just like, it just goes right, you know, it just, we're so focused on the seen. Now here, this is the antithesis of what most human thinking and reasoning accepts. The scripture says one thing and our mind says another. Our inclinations, our resonations, like radar, go the opposite direction. Lord said left, we go right. Lord said right, we go left. He says up, we go down. Just whatever the scripture is conveying, depraved humanity is attracted to the opposite. Now in this passage, Paul says something very profound in the opening of this chapter, where he's saying, therefore, having this ministry, we, as we obtain mercy, we don't faint. What are you saying, Paul? He said, because of this ministry, we don't faint. Because of this knowledge, we don't faint. Because of this comprehension, we don't faint. In other words, without these enlightenments, without these revelations, we fall into the category of those that live in constant trepidation. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but what? Love and power and what? sound thinking. Where does that come from? That comes from us, amen, focusing on what he has said rather than what we see. Otherwise, you're in for a roller coaster ride.
Amen.
Life will wear you out. Make you the most miserable something that... Here you are, Son of God, heir of God, heir of that which belongs to Christ, and you're dissatisfied. This is what Paul is saying. I mean, it's like not like he was getting by on the easy street, you know. No, this is the same man. As we go down here, verse 6 says that God is one who has basically signed in our hearts the light piercing the darkness. Amen. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Enlightenment of eternal viewing.
Amen.
Everybody say eternal viewing.
Amen.
And this is what we have been dealing with. Oh, there are a whole lot of things we can come and preach about. And sometimes I have been with other pastors and they say, well, let me go home and get something together and send them something. Now, where have you been all week? You know, it's the difference between going in the kitchen and cooking a gourmet meal and taking your time and just going in there and throwing something together. Another thing is, the essence of the message must focus on what God has already done. And everything else must defer to that.
Right. Right.
Here's how it works. God has decreed. One decree. And whatever manifests must come out of that decree. If it's not manifested, I mean, if it's not decreed, it can't manifest. On the other hand, if it's decreed, it must manifest.
Yes, yes.
So here, do we trust what God has done? Do we trust what he has arranged for us?
Oh.
Are we kind of shaky about that thing? In verse 7, Paul says, we have this treasure. That Greek word is transliterated thesaurus, which go into Webster or any dictionary and they have, in other words, that you can dig out of this word a deeper meaning. That's what he's saying. We have this deeper meaning. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. What are you talking about, Paul? God has given us, and it is such a delightful and glorious blessing and privilege to be able to go into the Word of God and receive the communications that are so pertinent in regards to your eternal habitation. Most of us, we prioritize things. We deal with our earthly, temporary habitation on a prioritized basis. Now, when I say that, somebody always say, well, are you saying what we're doing is not important? That's not what we're saying. What's the key word here?
Priority.
Priority. Oh, God help the ministries and the ministers to minister on a prioritized basis those things that are everlasting and unseen. Because sooner or later we're out of here. You're gone. Huh? I've been with my grandkids the last few days, basically find myself trying to make up for some of the time I didn't spend with the kids, because at that time I didn't have the knowledge that I have now, and I was out going to build up a big business and all of that and so forth. And so, amen, we went and did some things, amen. And I was just thinking as we were riding, you know, and I said to them, I said, nah, I never knew my grandfather. Both my grandfathers passed before I was born. And then it kind of dawned upon me, each of these kids one day, if the Lord tarries and if he has the creed and keep the brow, they will be grandparents. Then where will I be? Where I've always been. Where I've always been. According as he chose us in him, when? Before the foundation of the world. Having been placed and established, sanctified, glorified in him. Before time. What's before time?
Eternal.
These are things that are not being preached and taught in the churches. This is why we can't deal with death when it comes. Actually, seems like a paradox to those that don't understand. Go back up in Revelation, even in that gospel. It said the death of a saint is what?
Precious.
Precious. Another place. What? Big word. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Said, what can be beautiful about this? They're gone. You're never going to see them again.
Bring it out.
When you do that, you're talking as though you're going to stay here. And wherever they've gone, guess what? You're going too. You're going out of here.
Man.
So that's the value of the realistic sitting under the word of God and receiving the essence of what is versus what is not.
Yes, Lord.
Free.
Amen.
What is what is unseen. What is not is what we see.
That's right.
Because it's temporary. What does temporary mean?
Not long.
Jesus. Well, I know somebody lived 100-some years.
Not long.
In comparison to eternity. A drop in the ocean. Is that those that at least sound the voice of this ministry will learn to appreciate the essence of eternality and what Christ has already done for you and the glorious position of sons that you occupy in him, and you receive the joy and comprehension of that now rather than having to wait to close your eyes and wake up in the arms of Jesus to finally realize and appreciate it. We don't appreciate it now. Give him a praise. Give him a praise. Oh, my God. Then we can be happy every day. Even if the lights get turned off, we're happy. So they turn my gas off. I'm not going to be. Listen what Paul is. So this preacher is crazy. No. Whatever is here, we're going to preach it.
Amen.
It might not even click or resonate. And so, basically, what he is saying here is that he has given us the understanding of the Spirit and many things that we see in these verses as it relates to our present walk. Verse 8, he says, we're troubled on the other side. Now, here was not a man who was living in Cleveland just talking. and stuff.
No way.
Here's one who had suffered and was suffering. For here it is in the present tense as he writes this. He was being afflicted. But yet he was not distressed. Perplexed. In difficulties. But he was not despairing. Persecuted. But not feeling like God must have left me. Not feeling deserted. We're never alone. Being cast down, but I can't perish. What do you mean you can't perish? There's all this stuff out here. No. What? When he says that, what part of you is he talking about? You in the body of Christ, where you were before you were encapsulated in this flesh. And so he speaks of all of these things he's going through, and I better kind of speed up a little bit. That clock, it just moves every time I stand up here. But as we get down to verse 16, from the Greek elder, those who you have your Greek interlineals, and I hope that everyone that follows closely in this ministry at some point will have it. But just follow along in your translation if you do not have interlineal. Verse 16,
the King James Version.
No, not King James. We've been okay. Through it, Brother King James now.
All right. From the Greek interlineal.
Wherefore,
we faint not, but if indeed the outward of us, man, is being disabled, yet the inward man...
No, don't say that man. Now, that's bracketed. You see that? You know why he bracketed that?
Yeah, right.
Because that, right. The anthropos, the Greek word, is not there.
Right.
No, because he's trying to be in conformity here. When you start to talk about the inner you, you're not talking about a man or humanity.
Yet the inward.
The inward is you in the body of what? In the body of Christ. The outward is what? You in the flesh. You in these bodies. What does he say about the first one? Perishing. He's being disabled. Nobody sitting here in their right mind is going to argue with that.
No.
I don't care how old you are, unless you just came out of your mother's womb. Amen. There you go. There you got some wear and tear on you, on your body.
Right.
And the older you get, the more, just like an old car, it has a lot of wear and tear. Amen. I speak for this body. It has a lot of wear and tear. So each day, it's fading.
It's being renewed day.
But the inward.
And day.
The inward is being renewed. How are we being renewed? In the mind. In the mind. In comprehension. As we look through and we see the actualized state of things in eternality, it renews us. Because you go back to where you came from. And where you came from is better than where you are. So what you go back to is better than where you are. Oh my God. It's better. You know, some very notable pastor wrote a book, and it's very popular, Your Best Life Now. Don't you ever... We're in trouble if this is our best life. Renewed day by day.
Yes, yes.
light. Read that, Elder, that 17th verse.
For the present lightness.
For our momentary, and I'm just going to rephrase that, amen, because I've exegeted it. Our momentary light afflictions.
Yes.
Do what?
Of the affliction excessively to excess.
Oh my God. Every time I read that, you know, y'all just bear along with me for a second here. I mean, we're going to do a little exegesis here. Oh my God. Here he uses the Greek construction, kap ephebaline, is ephebaline. Here he translates it, excessively to excess. Ephebaline, it would be transliterated from the Greek to the English hyperbole. Something that is great. Something that is super. And here's what he's saying, is that I stack one hyperbole on top of another. Excessively to excess. To break it down to our language, nothing can top it. But he's not talking about what is seen, as we shall see in the next verse. Finish it up.
For us, an eternal weight of
an
glory.
Eternal weight. Everybody see eternal weight of glory.
Eternal weight of glory.
Oh, my God.
Works for us.
No. See, when we look at this word, varos. You remember when we were in that third chapter of Ephesians, on 18th verse, we were dealing with those dimensions. The essence of the spiritual medium is extent. A purpose. The extent a purpose. What is life all about? Those of us that have lived a few years, like the say you've gone through, you know, you grew up, went to school, you finished school, you got a trade, and you got married, and children, and then they were grown, and grandchildren, now the grandchildren was grown, so forth. What is this all about?
Glory.
And now as I get older, and look like every day I wake up, there's a new pain somewhere. What is this all about? What does this all lead to? No, your greatest days, if I've used that terminology, because that's what we can resonate with, your greatest existence, a consciousness of existence, is ahead of you, not the present and not the past, except unless you're going to go back before you were placed in these bodies. I will never experience the joy that I will experience consciousness when I wake up in the arms of Jesus. You talk about joy. This body couldn't even stand that kind of joy. And yet all we see in life is what's around us. And this is why we're going through this exercise, temporal and eternal things compared. No contest. Everybody said no contest.
No contest.
Yeah, this is not what's being preached from the pulpit.
Nope.
What's being preached from the pulpit is a new car that's going to get old, a new house that's going to get old, and everything else in physicality that's going to dissipate. A job, hey, go, and we thank God, we encourage the young people to go to school and so forth and so on. We said to them, hey, don't, that's not what your life revolves around. Because one day all of this is going to do what? It's going to disappear. In the first letter he wrote to the Corinthians, he said, this earthly tabernacle, what maybe having been what?
Destroyed.
It's already done. Mm-hmm. It's done in God's decree.
Yeah.
So why aren't we embracing all of these glorious deep things of God? Why should I stand up here and talk about politics when it leads to a dead end?
Yeah. Yeah.
And even the social and philosophical and psychological mediums, they're okay maybe as you're traveling through, but your journey comes to an end. Why not deal with that which transcends beyond into the ever, ever, ever? The never ending. Why do we have to wait till we get to funerals to hear this message? This is not a death message. This is a life message. Read that verse 18, Elder. Finish that up.
Not considering us the things being seen, but the not seen, for the things are temporary, but the things not
temporary.
But the things not seen are eternal.
The not seen are eternal. No, most of God's people's greatest praise for God is healing their body.
That's right.
Or giving them a raise on the job.
Yeah.
In the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, it's what's called a Shabbat. I love Shabbats. Huh? But the greatest praise, which is the greatest praise, is what? It's for the eternal, everlasting, unending, uninterruptible provisions and blessings.
Yes. Yes.
And this is how Paul starts out in that third chapter, in the third verse, rather, of the first chapter of Ephesians.
Blessed.
Here that Greek word is evlos. Jitos. Bless the God, a high praise. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, having blessed us. I mean, coming out the gate, there should be praise. Huh? Not waiting to see whether I'm going to get that promotion or not. It's already done. Everybody says it's already done. Heaven blessed us what? With each and every spiritual blessing. Where are spiritual blessings? Is that the scene? No. Our problem is we mix physical with what? Spiritual. I can remember as a young man sitting down talking to the pastor. Sometimes man, he goes so way out there, I'm sitting there saying, What is he talking about? There's a great delineation between what? Spiritual and physical. This is what we're trying to bring into our resignation. we embrace that which will never fail us. The scene is passing away. And then you cannot even count on what you think you see. That's why five people can look at the same thing and see what? Five different things. You can't depend upon that. So it's tied into the saying, not the scene, what God is saying. And even what I physically see contradict what God has said, what do we go with? What God is saying. Not the scene. Just somehow that's I'm talking about God's people. I'm not talking about the world. It just goes right. It goes right by us. It's like, it escapes us. And so we don't even know what life really is. And so in this exercise, I'm here to we conclude somewhere in June. Get used to each day, each time we come. We're talking about temporal and eternal things compared. All right. That includes the preamble. Take out your document. And hopefully everyone has access to a document. Page 118. Everything, this is one that the Lord conveyed to us when we first started this ministry, is that we put everything in writing. We don't preach or teach anything here that's not in writing. Everybody got, say amen. Temporal physicality prophetically manifests troubles, distresses, perplexities, persecutions, afflictions, and sorrows. As such, a characteristic of depraved environs. Scripture directives. Everybody says scripture directives. Scripture directives in the grace covenant. Everybody say the grace covenant.
The grace covenant.
Again, what is the grace covenant? These are the mystery writings. These are the instructions. This is the revelation that was hid from generations and not known until God revealed them to our beloved Apostle Paul.
Yes.
This is the mystery. Everybody say the mystery. The grace scriptures. Everybody say the grace scriptures. These are all directives and instructions and information. And as a broken record, we said to you, stay in these confines for doctrine. Do not go outside of these confines for doctrine. All of the Bible is true, but all of the Bible is not true for you. Talking about what the Bible says. Well, what do the great scriptures teach that is rightly divided? And again, if you do not divide this Bible according to dispensations and covenants, you're going to be a confused soul. Mixing Israel with the church. The body of Christ is not the commonwealth of Israel. The commonwealth of Israel is not the body of Christ. Alright? So that we're all on the same page here. Now, there are corroborations, and we'll get to one of them in a minute. In other words, you read something in another part of the Bible, if it aligns with what is conveyed in your gospel, amen. Because so many things actually conflict. The Bible the Bible does not contradict itself. What his instructions for Israel or to Israel? his instructions to the body of Christ, to the body of Christ. They are distinct, and they are to be distinguished. All right? So, scripture directives in the Grace Covenant instruct that God's people focus on God's people's focus is prioritized on eternal actualities. Everybody say eternal actualities.
Eternal actualities.
That's the real. That's what a real deal is.
Amen.
Not in what you see.
Number.
Not in what comes up on the matrix. The scriptures convey the essence of existence. It's most definitively demonstrated by comparing temporal and eternal things. Life entropies. Life disorders. Systems of disorders. And that's what this life is about. It's a system of disorder. But thank God it's a system. Chaos, but orderly chaos. And if you look up on the matrix, you think that life is unraveling. God isn't going anywhere. We got that Adam and Eve syndrome. You know, as you're reading back in Genesis, and this is why. If you go back in Genesis, you take this as knowledge of what we know from our gospel back there and read and so that you don't get confused. You don't go back there for doctrine. The Adam and Eve syndrome is God goes out of the garden. While he's gone, the devil comes in. And just messes up everything. Then the Lord comes back and says, Adam, Adam, where are you, Adam? The first thing that's impugning is what?
Omniscience.
God's omniscience. Like, but that's written and couched in the language of what? That covenant, or what's known in that covenant. Then when he finds him, he says, "What have you done?" In fact, I heard a message on the radio this morning as I was driving. Somebody went to that, and that's where they were preaching from. And after they got through preaching, they said, "Where are you, and what have you done?" That was the theme of the message. Where are you and what have you done? And that's a no-brainer. In manifestation, you and these depraved, vile bodies. And what have you done? No. What does depravity do? You just got to say the opposite of what I've got. Huh? And so life entropies manifest depravity's induced plights, yet their temporalities portend a give indication the eternal joys that are reserved in evidence for God's elect in the future.
Yes.
Psalms 35, we just read it from here, corroboratively states, weeping may do and do for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Now see, if you just read that, you just look, you know what you're confined to? You're confined to the earth. So some problem is burdening you. Something is bugging you. Something is kneeling you. And you read this and you think that it's talking about the essence of this life. Of course, as this is written, it is focused on a horizontal sphere.
Amen.
But joy unspeakable, in essence, deals with eternity beyond this life. Beyond the radar of those things that are around us.
Right.
No, we're not going to stand up here and tell you five ways to do nothing.
Right.
a get out of anything. That's not what our gospel does. Our gospel tells us that we're more than conquerors. Now! You are more than conquerors now! He who is in you, he's greater! Can you say greater? Can you say greater? He's greater than he who's in the world. The essence of who we are in Christ. This verse, passage we've just read, the fourth chapter, 16 through the 18th verse, as we've just conveyed it to you, it gives the proper perspective.
That's right.
Of viewing life. As we've just finished part four, our view is the what? Vertical heavenly view, looking down instead of around. You get the whole parameters, the entire parameters. And while you may see the sorrow, you also see the joy. And eternal joy trumps every sorrow any day in the week. Old Testament, he shall keep you in perfect peace with what? Whose mind is what?
It's
on him. He didn't say you, it, even in Old Testament, he didn't say you be in peace because that thing is going to be moved. Now, we're not saying that we don't pray for that. Every time. The key word is what? Priority. You can petition God for something, but if that's not decree, what? Just put it in the colloquial term. It ain't happening. You know, Paul prayed, what, three times, said, Lord, move this thing. Basically, the Lord let Paul know what? It ain't happening. But it doesn't stop there. He says, my grace is what?
Sufficient.
Is God's grace sufficient in your life? If your big toe never gets healed,
right.
Is grace sufficient? Is this grace sufficient? I say, and more important, the scripture says, his grace is sufficient. It more than suffices. Let's go to the second paragraph, and then one of these days y'all let me preach about 2 hours. Mother, remember that by that time Pastor preached 2 hours 15 minutes. I'm not going to do that to you. But we do have a record holder here in the pulpit. Let's go to the second paragraph here. Then we'll end today with this. Deliverance of physicalities, excursions, and testimonial predicaments. Language and temporariness. Erstwhile, the perpetuity of eternal joys facilitates their integrations in comparative briefness of their sorrow. Void of this spiritual comprehension, weeping is like an uninvited guest who enters one's habitations, rendering such sorrowful in his unwelcome presence. But scripture knowledge, everybody says scripture knowledge. Say it again. And again. What does it do? It ingresses or brings into play that such manifestly sojourn in comparison for only a moment. And so now we can understand on the advanced scale that weeping for a night, for a moment. It's for the present.
Right.
And the best thing about the present is it always passes away.
Always.
Into the what? The past. What messes us up is we have no confidence in the future. There's no way you can hold on to the present. It will pass. But we're confident in the future. Actuality of eternal entities. Everybody say eternal entities.
Eternal entities.
And boom, what will arrive in the morning as sorrow or lamentation disappears in its presence of blissfulness. Manifesting sufferings of the last twin will soon have passed through mortal bodies.
Right.
Oh, Pastor, you don't want to stop talking about this. No, all of your sorrows. Will pass with these mortal bodies. Mm-hmm. That is, in the pains of the parted ones will have been experienced. There are, listen to this. The last stride out of night into the glorious morning of eternal, oh my God, hallelujah, eternal joy. I can shout about that now. I don't have to wait. While the blood is still running warm in your veins, you can shout about this now. Because you are more in the body of Christ than you are in these bodies. Scripture revelations draw this definitive distinction. And here's where we end today. Between what is physically seen as opposed to what is not visible or physically seen. Do you know the majority of what's in our contract deals with you in the body of Christ. And that's why we have all of these aorist tense and everything.
Yes.
And you have to know the difference. Elder Liberman was conveying this to me yesterday, amen, as he in his studies, that as you read through our gospel, through our directives, you do well to distinguish between the manifestations and the actualizations. What is actualized is in eternality. What is manifested is in time. And that's all the matrices. They are reflections. And of course, as you look into the mirror, depending upon the angle you're looking at, is what you see. Nothing resides in time.
No way.
Everything resides in eternality. Everything resides in His saying. In God's decree. The ontologism is what? It's in the saying. God said it. That's what brings it and brought it into being. What is seen or what you call materialized is just a reflection in the mirror. That's all. You looking at a reflection in the mirror. I remember some years ago, Deshaun was a little boy. I was in the bathroom shaving. I think it was Deshaun. It was one of the kids. He came in. And he said, oh, there are two granddaddies. No, he was looking at in the mirror and looking at me at the same time. In life, in time, We don't see the real object. All we see is the mirror reflection. Time is for testimonial depiction only.
Amen.
To give testimony to what God has done. Otherwise, when time is no more, and the scriptures convey that time will be no more, everything in time will also be no more. But nothing is in time. It's eternal. This is why in the Old Testament, they convey everything that he does it how long? Forever. He said it. It's forever. Because that's where it resides. It couldn't be in time because time is not forever. Let's think. Because some awful things are going to go down in 2011. We're going to blow our minds. Unless we're not looking in the mirror and saying that's it, but the real object. Where's the real object? If I use an analogy, what's in the mirror is not real, is it?
No, it's not.
Because if the object moves out of the mirror, what happens? What's in the mirror?
Nothing.
Nothing. The real deal is the essence of you actualized in eternality in God's decree. And what God has said, that's what it is. I end with this. There are two states of being, terrestrial and celestial. In this sense, there are only two conduits of, and here I put this in parentheses, of seeing. The terrestrial world is perceived by physical eyes.
Right.
But the heavenlies in Christ is comprehended and affirmed in Christ's faithfulness. Everybody said Christ's faithfulness.
Christ is faithfulness.
And having actualized everything well
in
his eternal decree, the faithfulness is, you know what, just about whatever we believe starts with salvation. Whatever you think about salvation, that's what you carry down in life. Those who are shaky about salvation are absolutely shaky about life. How are you going to trust God to do anything for you if you haven't trusted, you don't trust him in salvation? You can't trust God in anything.
That's it. Amen.
A life not our own. We're bought with a price. What is that? The precious blood of Jesus. We live, we move, we are according to his pleasure.
Yes.
To what he has said. It's all about him. Isn't that right, sister of woman? It's all about him. It's all about him. All, not something. It's all about him. None about us. It's for his purpose. He didn't even save you for yourself. He saved you for... he saved you to please himself. First chapter of Ephesians. So I don't see how he could. God is thinking not about what we see, or what we don't see, or what we do, or what we don't do. They teach us that faith is your ticket into heaven. You exercise your faith, and because of your faith, you're saved. And the problem with that is what happens when you're not faithful.
Amen.
Oh, I forgot, you backslide. You know, you'd be like the woman Wallace was telling us about. I do remember. I'm a little younger than him. Y'all don't believe that, but I'm a little younger than him. They used to come back to repent and be restored every week in our church growing up. You know, like a ping pong game. Boop, in the church, poof, out of the church. Ping, in the church, poop, out of the church. And so you shake it that way, you automatically shake you in life.
Amen.
But when you understand that it's Christ's faithfulness,
yes.
It is the the faithfulness of Christ.
Yes.
And having elected you, chosen you, called you before the foundation of the world, placed you in some position in the body of Christ, separated you. Unblameable. In the essence of who he is forever. In eternity. Where time vigorousness cannot touch it. And so I understand that when all this is happening, what is going on around me? What all this transpiring? I can say like Paul, I'm persuaded that he's able. Say he's able. He's able. To do what? To keep that. To guard that.
Yes.
What is that? That which he has already accomplished. Against that day. And so nothing can separate me from the love of God. And then he speaks of litany of things. And then he gave out. He said, "Now any other in creation shall be able to what? Separate me." That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
Nothing can separate me. Oh my God. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. And as long as nothing can separate me from the love of God, storm clouds may rise, strong winds may blow, but I have a Savior, and he's the seed I know. We'll take it up next week. God bless you.